Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 271, stanzas 1 and 3. Of mercy and of justice, my thankful song shall be. O Lord, in joyful praises, my song shall rise to thee. And what follows in 1 and 3 of 271. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, in the fourth chapter, of Ephesians. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and with all malice, and be ye kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest the heart of each one of us, that we are condemned by thy word. For in our hearts, then there is living every evil, and we need to be converted. We need to be washed and to be cleansed. Oh, open our eyes in this day when we have never seen it, that we would not see it on that day for the first time, and when we have to appear before thee, only to be sent away from thee in thy just judgment for all our sin and guilt. But wilt thou open our eyes to see it, and while it is still a day of grace, and that our hearts may be drawn to seek for forgiveness with thee, as there is, as we may read it in thy holy word, and that we may seek also for that washing and for that cleansing, that we may be delivered from that great enemy, and that we may be restored again into thy blessed favor and communion. Do grant thy word to have place in the hearts of young and old, whereby nature this world has its place. It is necessary that thou first cast out the world, and that thou first cast out that strong man armed, that there may be place for thee and for thy word. And then it shall be the central place. And then it shall be the desire of our heart. And then all our life that shall go after thee. Lord, then we shall begin here below already in true desires and hungers and thirstings after thee, to glorify thy name in and through thine only begotten Son. Oh, so thou wilt receive thy honor again and thy glory. But when thou wilt leave us, to go our own way, then it will be only to magnify thy justice in our condemnation. Lord, it will also be with so many, but wilt thou take reasons out of thyself to cause thy word to be unto us and unto our children, and not a savor of death unto death, but a savor of life unto life, which from our side is unmerited, but from thy side is merited by thy dear Son, who has fully paid that price, and who is now able to gather them in and to demand that inheritance of thee. O Lord, thou hast promised him a seed that should serve him, that we and our children may yet be among that number. And we may read in thy word time and time again of our great responsibility. But when we may read time and time again of the depth of our fall and of our sin and of our great deadness, so that from our side thou didst have to declare, with men it is impossible, but not with God. And so we ask it of thee again. Lord, we beseech it of thee. Oh, for what reason hast thou given unto us thy day? And for what reason hast thou instituted a ministry? For what reason hast thou inspired thy holy word? And for what reason dost thou give? That it may be proclaimed unto us and to our children. If it will not be to the upbuilding of thy kingdom, if it will not be to the edification and to the salvation of souls, oh, that we and our children may be recipients of these great benefits. Oh, draw us, Lord, who will never run after thee of ourselves. And wilt thou draw thy children also again? For when they have sinned against thee, and then it is necessary for thee to hide thy face, that they may abhor themselves in dust and in ashes, and that they may be given to come again, seeking thee, Lord, that thou may instruct and correct, that thou may rebuke, that thou may deliver. Oh, that thou may humble, that thou may glorify thy great name. Remember us all together, young and old, great and small. And wilt thou supply in all the needs of each one also in this life, in the cares, in the trials, in the afflictions of this life, also in the prosperity, that we may receive with our children in the land and time in which we live. Oh, that we would not be permitted by thee to use our blessings in the ways of sin. But wilt thou cause new hearts to draw nigh unto God? Oh, that all these benefits also in an outward way may never testify against us. Lord, remember all the afflicted, all the sick, all the miserable and needy ones, all those that mourn, all handicapped and invalids, and all that are in the prisons, all that suffer from addictions, all those that have special needs and cares, the children from torn families. Lord, thou knowest each and every one, where all the miseries are, and also those that must suffer them. Wilt thou supply in the needs? Oh, use these ways for the conversion of sinners, to bring back again unto our Maker. Remember land and peoples. Oh, look on our nation and turn us again to thee, thy word, and to thy testimony. Remember all thy servants over the length and breadth of this world. Increase their number and bless their labors for the sowing of the seed and for bringing in that great harvest. One day when it will be white and ready. Oh, that we and our children may not then be part of those tares and that will be gathered up and burned in the fire, but that we may be found among that wheat, that may be gathered and put into thy barns. O Lord, remember us, then cause us to hasten for the sake of our life. And while it is still called today, help us in this afternoon. And give us freedom and liberty, and that from our side is also so undeserved. Lord, wilt thou supply for us to speak and to listen, and be in our midst, feelingly and believingly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 138, all stanzas. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. The last collection today is for our school, 138. All stanzas. Since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? Our death is not a satisfaction for our sins. Thus, congregation, our fathers have taught us in the last question and answer. Concerning what? Concerning satisfaction. What is that satisfaction? That is to meet the requirements. And what are those requirements that the death of Christ has met? They are the requirements of the law. They are the requirements concerning the penalty of God's law, the penalty for sin. Have you met those requirements? For the penalty of sin? Because if we have not met those requirements, then it is impossible and that we would be delivered from the punishment. But if we have now met them, what does it mean? It means that we are justified. It means that we are made now right with that law. It means that that law that no longer has anything against us. It means that there is no curse. It means that that law has now come on our side. That that law is now standing actually for our defense instead. Then there is no more reason to fear. There is no more reason to fear to stand in the judgment. There is no more reason to fear to stand before our judge. Are there many accusations? Oh, they still remain. Many accusations that your heart that has to say yes, they are true. And they remain true. But if the penalty is paid, and when that penalty is paid, then regardless of the truth of the accusations, there is no more curse. Oh, what man in the whole world would not desire such a benefit? To be justified, to be made right with the law, to stand free from the curse, to stand free from the punishment. That is the desire. It is the common desire of all men. No one wants to be condemned. No one wants to go to hell. Everyone wants to go to heaven. And if our eyes are so blinded and that we will try to bury it all, then at least that we desire annihilation, that we would just be no more, that dead would be dead, and that there would be no punishment. But congregation, justification, that is a benefit that is flowing out of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a benefit that is flowing out of His resurrection. It is a benefit flowing out of His mediatorial work. Thus, in order to receive it, then we need to be engrafted. Then we need to be found in Him by faith, so we have heard. But that is not all. And therefore, our fathers, they speak of more. which we wish to consider in Lord's Day 16 once again, and thereof the 43rd question and answer, Lord's Day 16, question and answer 43. What further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? Answer, that by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified, dead and buried with him, and that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So far, our Lord's Day, another benefit flowing out of the sacrifice and death of Christ. First, the old man crucified, dead, and buried with Christ. Second, the corrupt inclinations of the flesh subdued. Third, self offered as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Another benefit flowing out of the sacrifice and death of Christ. First, the old man crucified, dead, and buried with Christ. Second, the corrupt inclinations of the flesh subdued. And last, self offered as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. What further benefit? Our fathers, they speak about benefits. And young people, maybe that you speak also sometimes now as you get older about benefits. When you go to work for this one or for that one, and you will receive a certain wage, and then on top of this, then you are receiving perhaps certain benefits. And so man is looking for more and more of these benefits. And now our fathers, they speak about benefits that are not earned. But they are speaking about benefits that are flowing out of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have heard of one of those benefits. And what is it? It is justification. All of it flowing out of him. What a great benefit. Do we now desire this benefit? Justification. That we may be enabled to die without fear, that we may be enabled without fear and without the speaking of our conscience to stand before our judge. Justification, what a benefit. Death lost its sting. Death, it has no more the victory. But death, we heard now a passage into eternal life. All one of God's people, years ago, fearing death his whole life. And then that day came. And then the Lord made it so good for him that he had to ask this question of his family. He said, "Is this dying? Or how is it that we wish to come to the end of our life? And do we consider this justification such a benefit?" And now our fathers, they speak about a further benefit. Oh, how little do we realize how many blessings, how many benefits are flowing out of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord will open just one of those benefits unto his people. Oh, then they are sinking away in wonder at that which the Lord does bestow upon them in that blessed mediator. Oh, to know of one. But one day they are going to enjoy a multitude of those benefits that eyes have not seen and ear has not heard, but which the Lord has laid away for that people, a further benefit. Do you believe, young people, that there are benefits to be received in the house of the Lord? What further benefit? Thus our fathers, they would, as it were, draw you to show unto you the reasons whereby that we should forsake this world and every former friend to seek out these benefits from on high. And now our fathers, they speak about one single benefit. And it is one benefit we read here, more than justification. That benefit that we have just heard of. One benefit more. Thus the Lord, he is showing unto his people, he is opening to his people one benefit at a time. Each one sufficient to humble that people and to give them to begin to glorify him. What is now that benefit that our fathers, they speak of here? It is a distinguishing benefit. What do we mean by this? Well, this benefit that distinguishes between the true work of God and the false work. It is a benefit that distinguishes between God's people and the hypocrite. How is that necessary? To distinguish. Why? Because our hearts are deceitful above all things. Because our hearts are desperately wicked. But congregation, we cannot make a mistake. Not with these things, we cannot mistake. Because we have only one soul. And we go to a great eternity. And when it is not right and we are presuming, then it shall go ill with us. And there is no opportunity again. And now when we are honest with our own soul, what will we do? Then we will look. Then we will search for those marks which are the most distinguishing in order that I might know and that I may have that question answered. Am I his or am I not? And all men can praise me, but that is no consolation for my soul. No, then we need to hear it out of the mouth of the Lord. What further benefit? Well, congregation, we will ask you this. Balaam. Was Balaam a man of God? With all the prophecy that Balaam made, Balaam remained an enemy. Balaam was not a man whose treasure was above. Balaam was a man whose treasure was here below. Balaam was not a man who loved the Lord. Balaam was not a man who loved the people of the Lord. But Balaam was a self-lover. Balaam. And what was now Balaam's desire? Balaam's desire was, let me die the death of the righteous.
Thus, though Balaam loved not the Lord, and Balaam loved not the people of the Lord, yet Balaam wanted to die like God's people die. And why is that? Because that is the common desire of all men. Because there is no man in this world that desires to be condemned. Thus, this is not a distinguishing mark, that we would desire to die the death of the righteous. No, we are all those who desire to justify ourselves and to be right with that law and to escape the punishment. But now it is very different concerning a desire to not die the death of the righteous, but to live the life of the righteous. Here is a distinguishing mark. This is a mark that Balaam did not have. What further benefit that by virtue thereof our old man is crucified? Or is our catechism now just some work of man that ought just to be disregarded? It has been hated. It has been hated since the day it was written. A mockery made of every single question. It's still hated. It's still hated by men of religion. But our beloved catechism, that is now laying out that experimental truth that we can read, laid out in that holy word of God. Did you ever come to love that catechism from Lord's Day to Lord's Day? Our old man, it speaks of, is that now something, a term, an expression that is coined, my man? Or it is an expression that has been given unto us by the Lord himself, that has been inspired by that Holy Spirit of the Lord? Paul says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The greatest part of this world knows nothing about an old man. And why not? Because it knows nothing about a new man. And if it knows nothing about a new man, then it knows nothing about an old man. Because then there is nothing to distinguish. Then everything is just old man. And there is nothing for comparison with that old man. But it is in a regeneration that a new man is born. And so there are now two men. There is an old man and there is a new man. And those people, they know it very, very well. Why? Because they can't agree. They can't agree about anything. This old man and this new man, they are always fighting. How often do we not have wrong thoughts about what it means to be converted? Because we can read about Rebecca. The Lord gave to her a promise. But when she experiences the fulfillment of that promise in the fruit of her womb, then she cannot understand how that it can be going in this way. And what is it that she cannot understand? She cannot understand the struggle. The struggle that was in her womb. This is something that she had not expected. Then she went to the Lord. We read she went to inquire of the Lord. Lord, if it be so with me, if this is thy work, how now can this be that in my womb, when this is from thee, there is this great struggle? How is it in that new life? Well, then a person, he is perplexed. Why? Because something happens in him that he had never expected. There is a fight. And he thought that it would be so different as he did go from strength to strength, as he did go from resting place to resting place, along that pathway that the Lord would lead him unto everlasting life. But now it is different. Now there is a struggle, and he cannot understand what is going on. But God's exercised people, they may listen to his complaint, and they are rejoicing. They are rejoicing. Why? Because they are hearing the complaint of the true church of God. They are hearing a complaint that is a complaint of a warrior, one who has joined a church militant, that by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified. Oh, what is now the desire when those two are always fighting? What is the desire of that new man? That is that that old man would be crucified. That old man, that he would be hanged on a tree. And that he would be laid in the grave, there to rot away. That he would be dead forever. And that he would be rid of him forever. Oh, this he would consider to be a great benefit. Or if he could only receive such a thing. And now that old man, who is that old man? What is the representation of that old man? That is the life of sin. Paul says he is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. What is salvation? We teach it to our children. That is to be delivered. That is to be delivered from the greatest evil. And that is to be brought unto the highest good. What is now the greatest evil, children? Sin. Do you believe that? Is that so for you too? That the greatest evil has become sin in your life? And what is now the highest good? That is God. Is that for you too? Because when the Lord would give to you what you are asking for, you ask for it, don't you? Lord, give to me a new heart. Oh, that new heart that has a desire to be delivered from the greatest evil of sin. And it has a desire that it may be brought to the greatest good. And that is God. Oh, how you will then try to deliver yourself. But how much also you will have to learn that you cannot deliver yourself from this sin. That you cannot deliver yourself from this greatest evil. And you cannot bring yourself unto that highest good. And so the Lord will make his Son necessary. So the Lord will make his Son precious to you. Why? Oh, that he would deliver you from that greatest evil. And now, not only to be justified, not only that your guilt would be taken away, not only that you may be enabled to stand before your judge, not only that you may receive a right unto eternal life, but also that you may be sanctified. What does that mean? Also that you may be delivered from sin itself. Oh, here is now the benefit which your heart desires. That is not only to receive heaven, but oh, to receive a deliverance from sin. Here is now the benefit, and that the Lord will make his Son so precious to the soul of his people, for that he may wash them, that he may cleanse them, and that he may make them fit again, clothe them with his robe of righteousness, that they may be clean, that they may be delivered from that which grieves their soul, and that they may be brought into the blessed communion with God. Again, how is it? We say that it is a benefit that distinguishes. And why do we say that? Well, how is that then with the hypocrite? Well, a hypocrite, he indeed, yes, he has a desire to die the death of the righteous. But he has no desire that sin would be subdued. Why? Because sin, that has never become his enemy, and he is well satisfied if he may live out this life in this world just as he pleases, and go to heaven when he dies. Oh, it is true that outwardly, yes, that he tries to keep from sin. Why? Because there is one from the church, and there is another one from the church, and we do not want to have anyone to see us. That is not before the eyes of the Lord. When it comes to that secret place, oh, there is no grief in our soul then before the eyes of an all-knowing God. Thus we have a distinguishing benefit out of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in our second thought the corrupt inclinations of the flesh subdued, that by virtue thereof our old man is crucified, dead, and buried with him. That so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us. No more reign in us. What does that mean? It does not say that they are gone. Does not say that they are not existent anymore. It does not say that the corrupt inclinations of our flesh, that they may no more be in us, that they may no more live in us. No, we read it different in the Bible. Only read about David. Only read about Solomon. Only read about Peter. Only read about the children of Israel, how that the Lord, he had to bring them into that land of Babylon. Oh, God's word that is so honest. And as long as man lives in this world, then the corrupt inclinations of his flesh remain. But what do our fathers say? That our corrupt inclinations may no more reign in us. And what does it mean to reign? Who reigns, boys and girls? The king. And a king, he says what he wants. He is sovereign. That is what the word means. No one says to that king, what are you doing? No, the king does just as he pleases. And thus our fathers, they use the word reign. May no more reign in us. How is it when there is no new man? How is it when it is all old man? Then sin reigns in us. Why? Because there is none to check him. There is no one to fight against him. But he is king. And he goes about and he does everything that he pleases. You say he has a conscience. Oh yes, he has a conscience. And what does a conscience do? Makes his life miserable. Makes his life miserable as he goes over the world in a life of sin. But he steps on it. And we heard it in this morning that corrupt will that does overcome. And that it goes forward then in that life of sin. The conscience is not a new man. The conscience has no heart. The conscience does not dwell in our heart. The conscience is a different faculty. There is no love. There is no love in the conscience. And that conscience is not able to win against love. It cannot win against the love for sin. That is the old man. The old man, the corrupt inclinations of the flesh. And the conscience can speak and speak and speak. But the conscience is not able to win against the love for sin. But the warfare of the new man against the old man is a warfare of loves. Two loves, two men. It is a warfare of the heart. You know how it is, parents. For your children, oh love, the love of your children for you, that is much more effective to keep them from sin than all your threats, than all your warnings. Oh, if they will only not want to grieve you, then they will be stopped in a moment. That is the power of love. Warn them therefore, yes, and continue, but warn them in love. Now we have a warfare. Warfare within the heart of God's children. That our corrupt inclinations may no more reign in us. No, they have no more a free reign. Do they tempt? Yes. Do they sometimes make that people to fall? Yes. But they do not reign. That means that the former freedom that sin had in the life of the people, the former freedom to go on only with the checks of conscience, that former freedom is now gone. Why? There's an enemy. An enemy in the heart. And that is an effective enemy. And why effective? Because of love. And every time that there is sin, then there is also grief. Grief. And that grief, because of love to the Lord, that is much more powerful than every check of conscience that a man can have. Then there is also grief that warfare that is not as it ought to be, that fighting is not as it ought to be, that they are laying so often on a bed of slothfulness, and then the Lord has to hide his face. But what does he do? Oh, he puts in his hand by the hole of the door, and he leaves behind upon the lock a little of that sweet-smelling myrrh. When that people are lying and not watching, oh, when that new man is sleeping, and it is not as the Lord Jesus says, watch and pray, and then they are falling, but then the Lord, he is knocking, leaving behind that sweet-smelling myrrh, and then they are raised up again, and then that heart that is going out again after him, or with self-reproaches, with self-chastisements for their foolishness, for their wickedness, in a true repentance, that our corrupt inclinations may no more reign in us. Yes, still exist, but no more reign. The five wise virgins, they may sleep, but that oil that is still in their vessels, oh, how weak. How weak do that people not experience themselves to be in that warfare. No, they cannot cleanse. They cannot sanctify themselves. The Lord, he has to make himself precious in the eyes of his people. But out of that side of the Lord Jesus Christ, there came two things. What was it? Blood and water. Blood and water. And now we need to receive a right to eternal life, that our guilt may be taken away. But oh, now that desire also, that sin would be forever done. And now how precious that water becomes in the life of that people, that did flow from the side of that blessed mediator. Why? Oh, Paul, oh, he speaks of this warfare, and he cries out, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When, oh, when that new man did struggle against the flesh, against that law of sin in his members, and then, oh, the Lord gave him to see where that only hope was, the only hope for that wretched man with corrupt inclinations of his flesh, not only for that justification, but also for that sanctification, that he may be completely delivered from it. Or and when? When shall that people be now completely delivered? Not in the time, but when this body, with its corrupt inclination, shall be laid in the grave. Let us sing 386. 1:3-4. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely, incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 386, 1:3-4. What further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross, that by virtue thereof our old man is crucified, dead and buried with him, and that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We cannot fathom, congregation, the height of our creation, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the created being, and what we were given to do as the crown of the creation. To worship God, who can fathom the depth of our fall. What a misery that we are lying in a willful rebellion against our Maker, lying polluted in our own blood, cast out in the open field without any ability to deliver ourselves again. And now what do our fathers say here? Last, they speak about a people who will offer themselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Is that not most unfathomable? The Lord knows how to receive his honor, and he will receive it, even though rebellious man goes forth with his own intentions, with his own will, with his own corrupt desire, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. By nature, it's all the opposite. It's all the opposite. We have nothing for the Lord, and it is all for ourselves. Even our religion, it's our secret purpose of our form, of our custom, quiet our conscience, and so go on living out the desires of our heart in this world. Oh, can you imagine if it would be the opposite? Can you imagine if it would be nothing of self, and if it would be a life that was all for the Lord? Oh, Christ, he gave himself a sacrifice. He sacrificed himself for his people. And now, our fathers, they say that this is now working on the other side of desire, in the heart of that people, that they may do the same, that they may sacrifice themselves unto God. Sacrifice of merit, oh, that's what it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. It had to be, but it is no more for that people. No sacrifice of merit, as those heathen did pass themselves and their children through the fire. But our fathers, they say, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And thanksgiving that has no merit in it. No, it is just purely out of gratitude. Gratitude for what? Oh, what do we sometimes sing? Oh, gratitude, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits unto me? Oh, if faith in the life of the people may be given to look upon, all that is in that blessed mediator and that is given unto them in him, then there is no end. There is no end to the benefits, justification, sanctification, a complete redemption, all in him, able to stand before their judge because he will stand for them. He will give an answer, and he will declare that his payment that is also for them, or in him, able to return again unto the Father. Why? Not acceptable in themselves, no, but now in him, washed, cleansed, clothed with that robe of his righteousness, all in themselves wretched, miserable, but in him to receive everything. Oh, if they may have a little sight of everything that is contained in that blessed mediator for the people, then what is left for the people to do? What is now left for them to do? They have not to try to justify themselves anymore. No, they cannot justify themselves. It is sin. It is sin. It is sin.
It is from the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They cannot justify themselves. Do they have to think that they can make themselves one whit better? Do they have to think that they can make themselves one whit holier in order that they may appear again in the presence of God, whom their soul has so come to love? Impossible. Impossible. No fruit from this tree henceforth forever. But now to receive it all. To receive it all. Through faith, by grace, through the merits of that only begotten Son, without money, without price, what is now left for that people to do? Our fathers say to offer themselves. To offer themselves a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto God. Oh, they have forfeited everything, time and time again. But in Him, they have received it a thousandfold. Shall they now live one more moment in their life, for their own purpose, for their own honor, for their own glory? God forbid. The Gibeonites, they said, we will be hewers of water, hewers of wood, and drawers of water, because our life that is forfeited. And they were Hebrew slaves. They were willing to have their ear bored through with an awl unto the door. Why? Oh, because they said, I love my master. How is a people of the Lord that we may offer ourselves unto Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving? Oh, if it would not only be by fits and by spurts in this world, and then to go on again complaining and murmuring as that wretched heart continues to do. And then again, time and again, to return ashamed. And when the Lord, He is opening the wonder of grace to such a wretched creature, that we may offer ourselves unto Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Oh, what a work in eternity. Never to be interrupted. Never to be finished. And never to tire of this. It shall always be in its beginning. Oh, to return unto Him that blessed favor of His sacrifice for what? Oh, for all His benefits unto me, ever starting, ever beginning, and never ending. Congregation, oh, those corrupt inclinations of your flesh, all are those corrupt inclinations now. Have they ever become to you a burden? It has to become so. We say it is a distinguishing mark. Or are those corrupt inclinations a grief to your soul that is not belonging to an old man? Oh, that is what belongs to that new man. No, not before our fellow man. We're all hypocrites enough. But
the corrupt inclinations, the Lord Jesus, he says, that which is within, coming from within, that is the thing now that is defiling a man. That is the thing that is becoming a grief unto the soul. That is the thing that is becoming the warfare of the true church of God. It is over this that they mourn. Though it even be sometimes not with outward tears, oh, it is over this that they do abhor themselves, cannot bring themselves low enough, and abhorring themselves, that they do not abhor themselves enough. Oh, and so it goes to the end of their life. Oh, this their grief, this their sorrow, this their warfare, and from this, they shall be delivered to the rejoicing of their heart, to the glory of the Lord and that world without end. Amen. O Lord, convert us. O convert us. And convert us again. And teach us to flee from sin. Cause that warfare in the hearts of thy children to burn daily, that they might put on that new man, and that he may receive the preeminence, and that the eye may go out continually more and more in all the disappointments that there are to be experienced in ourselves, more and more to that blessed Son of God, who is for that people everything, and in whom they receive all the benefits, all make jealous in the life of each and every one, for they are such great benefits and still to be received. While we are in a day of grace and in the land of the living, spare us further in this day from accident, danger, evil, and sin. Give us to keep thy day holy. Look upon us in the week to come. Each one in our place in this world. Thou knowest all our intentions. Watch over and protect us in the home and by the way. And spare us each from a sudden and an unprepared death. And cause us to flee for our life's sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 141, 1, 2, and 3. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. 1, 2, and 3 of 141.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.